Jesus Christ, the light and life of those whom you have called out of the darkness into thy marvelous light. May thy pure, clear words speak unto our hearts and minds here this morning, convincing us of our sins and failures and forgiving and strengthening our faith in thee, as we again are held in awe and thanksgiving at the foot of thy cross and the empty tomb. Make us bold witnesses of thee as we take hold of the sword of the Spirit, thy all-powerful word, and continue to fight the good fight of faith, and in the end receive the salvation of our souls through Christ Jesus. It is in thy name, Jesus, the true Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we do pray. Amen. Especially for our meditation here on this Reformation Sunday, we remember those words from Ephesians chapter 6. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all to stand, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. In the movies, as well as the book by the same title, The Lord of the Rings, written by the Christian author J.R.R. Tolkien, the great epic is begun by the story of long, long ago, when the forces of good arose to resist the dark forces of wickedness that were perverting and destroying so much of creation. In that earlier battle, it looked as if all hope was momentarily lost, until the son of the king took up the sword of his father and defeated the wicked one. The Lord of the Rings goes on to tell the tale that many years have passed since that huge early battle, and that the forces of evil were again at work within the world to resist them and their struggles to take over and enslave all free men. A council was then called. During the time of this council, one of the great warriors of men named Boromir was shown walking through the great library one evening. He witnesses the recorded tale of those who stood up to fight the forces of evil in the past, and he is amazed to see the actual broken sword there preserved in the library that dealt the death blow to the evil one. It is apparent by his reaction that he had not believed the old accounts of history, instead viewing them as only myth or legend, until he comes face to face with some real physical objects that were used in the fighting. He picked up this sword that was used by the son of the king, and he was startled and amazed when he ran his finger along its age-old blade that it was still sharp, he said, as it had been many years before. When he noticed that he was being watched by another person, he dropped the sword and he discredited its sharpness, therefore its usefulness for the present time, by saying that it was sharp no more than a broken arrow. The man who saw him drop the sword came over and picked it up. He was of the same bloodlines as those who had once used that famous old sword, and he would again use this same old yet still sharp sword to resist the forces of evil. Within this brief summary, we can each easily tell that there are at least three different kinds of people that are here mentioned. One, there were those who fought against this sword and were counted among the evil forces of all time, past and present. Two, there were those here named Boromir who were amazed that the old stories were indeed true, not really trusting in the power of the sword for the present time and not wanting others to see them picking up that sword. And three, there were those of the true bloodline of those who had earlier picked up the sword to use it in their fight against evil, and who would now themselves bear this same sword into battle anew. Last year, we were especially remembering and celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. We joined with others throughout the world as we remembered when Dr. Martin Luther arose against the false teachings and teachers of his day who had perverted and covered up the pure, clear, strong Word of God. Over time, the church of his day, which used to be called the universal or Catholic Church on earth, centered with its leader in Rome, had raised up their teachers and their leaders. They had elevated the teachings of their father or papa of their faith even above the Holy Scriptures. They stated that one of the sayings of their pope seemed to disagree with the Word of God. You were to listen to the pope since he was the very voice of God. Where the Word of God is clear, for by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That we are saved solely out of the mercy and grace of God through Christ Jesus' death upon the cross on account of all of our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The papists, on the other hand, taught that you were saved through the good works that you have done. Where the Word of God is clear, you die once, and then the judgment. That immediately upon your death, you are judged. And if you trust in Christ Jesus as your Savior from sin, you are escorted immediately into the eternal joys that await you in heaven. And if you have rejected Christ as your Savior from sin, you are cast into the everlasting fires of hell. The papists, on the other hand, made up another place in between heaven and hell in their teachings called purgatory. They taught that you or your relatives could work your way out of this place of torment if you gave them enough money. These slips of paper that you could purchase from them were called indulgences. Dr. Luther had a problem with these and this teaching. As he continued to study the true Word of God, he saw how we are made right with God, not through what we do or through purchasing forgiveness from some priest so we can go out and sin even more, but instead we are forgiven of our sins through the blood that Christ Jesus shed for us and our sins upon the cross. Our sins have separated us from our Heavenly Father since that very first fall into sin in the Garden of Eden and the many ones that we have done ever since. Yet God promised that he would restore this relationship through the Lamb of God whom he would provide as the sacrifice for the sins of the world. Jesus Christ was that perfect, spotless Lamb. He came down to earth to live the perfect life that was demanded of us on account of God's law. God demands that we must be perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect, which none of us can do. So Jesus came to do it in our stead. And he came to offer his life as the sacrifice or payment for the many times that we have rebelled against our Heavenly Father through the words of our mouth and our actions towards one another, those that are around us, and even the impure thoughts and desires of our hearts. Jesus had come that he might bear our sins upon himself and thusly be crucified in our stead. When he hung upon the tree of the cross, all of the wrath of the Heavenly Father at all sin for the entire history of the world was cast down upon his one and only Son. Jesus went through such pain and abuse and agony and rejection so that you and I might be forgiven before God and brought back together with him. That's the good news of the gospel. When Dr. Luther proclaimed these pure, clear teachings from God's true and everlasting words of salvation and life, there were those who did not like it. They rose up against him, seeking to silence him and this word. Some claimed to be Christians, though they did not truly put their faith in Christ as Lord. Some came from other faiths that taught you could be saved from the fires of hell by some other means other than Jesus Christ alone. But they were united in this force that fought against the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. There were some at that time who were not willing to let go of other false teachings and be counted among those who were taking up the sword of the true faith. They, like Boromir, did not want others to see them placing their faith in this age-old sword, ultimately casting it aside. But there were still others who rallied to the call. Upon hearing the word of God in its truth and purity, they would take up what others would cast aside, and they would join in the age-old fight against the forces of evil that seek to silence and discredit the power of the Holy Scriptures in their lives now and into eternity. Through their baptism into the faith, they were made a part of the family of God and connected unto the blood of the Lamb, to whom we have joined in fighting this fight of the true Christian faith in times past. They would use this still sharp sword in their own lives for the betterment of their souls and their families, and for the ultimate good of those around them as the battle would continue to rage. Which brings us to today. We are not only remembering and celebrating these times past, when our faithful fathers of the faith took up the age-old, still sharp sword of the Spirit, the very word of God against the forces of evil. The battle continues to rage even as I'm speaking unto you now. The enemies of God are amassing together for their attacks against those who would wield God's word. Though some in their ranks may even claim to be Christian, they have joined together with the forces of evil and do not yield unto Christ and his word. They reject God's word that says, "There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved, other than Christ Jesus our Lord. Salvation is found in no one else. For Jesus Christ was and is, as he said, the way, the truth, and the life. No man goeth unto the Father but by me." Those who reject these clear words of his have joined with the pagans of today and times past. They have united with Muhammad and Joseph Smith and Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin and the Antichrist, the Pope, and numerous others, striving with the forces of darkness and destruction to bind and enslave all mankind away from the freedom of the gospel in Christ Jesus, and instead leading back to their dark lord, whether they know his name or not. There are also many today who, like Boromir, think that the Bible is simply an old book of myth and legend. They might find it also in some library and be shocked at how sharp its words still are in a world today that rejects so much of God's clear teachings. This world that teaches evolution rather than the creation of God in 6 24-hour periods about 6,000 years ago. This world that teaches it's okay to engage sexually with many people and to live together before marriage instead of saving yourself for your spouse within the confines of marriage between one man and one woman until death do you part alone. This sinful world that promotes the murdering of her children through abortion rather than treasuring each child as a gift of God. This pagan world that has rejected God's created roles of the order of creation for man to be the serious head of the house, to love and care for his family first, and for the wife to submit unto her husband as unto the Lord. This sinful world that promotes greed rather than contentment, and lying rather than always telling the truth, and slander rather than building one another up in the Lord. Yes, within this world, there are many who would be shocked at the sharpness of the sword of the Spirit, God's word. Yet we know this painfully well. He tells us, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." We know it is painfully sharp because it has cut deeply within us as well. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, has laid open and bare the desires of our hearts and the secret thoughts of our minds, and has shown that we are wanting. We each have a sinful heart and have been sinful from our conception. When we hear the pure Word of God, we can also say, ow, that hurts. Because it shows us our sins so deeply within, and how we do not wish to change from our sinful ways. This cancer-like condition called sin will continue to eat upon us from within, ultimately leading to our own death, which is why we each need surgery. God wants us to take up his old, still sharp sword, which shows us the sinful condition that all mankind is in. God shows us our hopeless situation if it were up to us and our own powers of healing and regeneration, but he has given us hope in the midst of this. He has said, if you will confess your sins unto me, I am faithful and just and will forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Jesus Christ made our sinful and lost condition his own. He paid the price that was demanded by God the Father Almighty with his blood upon the cross. Jesus is the one who has come to save us from our sins and the eternal damnation we deserve on account of these, our sins. Jesus is truly our Savior. We have been connected unto him in a bloodline that cannot be discredited, as we were united with him and his death in our baptism. We have received the honor and reward of the Son who hearkened unto his Father and took up the sword to strike down the dark one and all the forces of evil that had and have united against him. In thanksgiving for all that he has done and won for us, the least we can do, brothers and sisters in Christ, is to pick up and bear this sword that he has given unto us. The sword in the tale, the Lord of the Rings, was broken and was forged again. But the sword of the Spirit, the very and true Word of God, can never be broken. Though the earth and everything in it, and the heavens above, and everything in them shall pass away, yet God promises his word shall endure forever. Though the gates of hell and all the forces thereof shall strive and rise up against God, and all those who stand up bearing the sword he has provided for us, his all-powerful word, they cannot overpower us. I can say it no better than we sing in that hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. We sing these words. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will. Arr! He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him. That one word that Dr. Luther was referring to is the Greek word that Jesus proclaimed at last upon the cross. Tetelestai. It is finished. All that had to be done to win salvation for you and for me was now done. We now have total and complete forgiveness through the completed work of Jesus Christ our Lord. We no longer have to fear anything or anyone. Bring it on. As we used to sing in that old hymn number 266, Thou Lord alone this work has done, by thy free grace and favor. All who believe will grace receive through Jesus Christ our Savior. And though the foe would overthrow this word with grim endeavor, all he hath wrought must come to naught. Thy word will stand forever.